الحمد لله الذي نشر الإنسان وقدر وصرف بحكمته وقدر وابتعث محمدا إلى كافة أهل البدو والحضر فأباح وحرم وحرم وحذر فدخل دار الأرقم فاختفى واستتر إلى أن أعز الله الإسلام برجال كأبي بكر وعمر فصلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى جميع أصحابه الميامين الغرر وعلى تابعيهم بإحسان أهل السنة والأثر. يقول الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. ثم أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, in the beginning days of Islam, when there were only a few Muslims, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as they were hiding in Darul Arqam, he would tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Shall we not go out and announce our Islam to the people?" Until finally the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. And so Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and some other Muslims, they went to the Kaaba in the courtyard, and Abu Bakr and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up in different places of the courtyard and they started calling the people to Islam. And now the mob of kuffar that were there, they got up and they became very angry at the words that they were hearing and the Quran that was being recited, and they started to beat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Utbah alayhi la'natullah, he started beating Abu Bakr in the face with his sandal. And so much so that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu fell to the ground. And as he fell, Utbah came on top of his stomach and punching him in the stomach and hitting him in the face until Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's face had drenched with blood. So much so that the person couldn't tell his face and where his nose was from all the blood that was drenched in his face. And he became unconscious. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's tribe, they pulled Utbah and the other people off and they said, "Wallahi, if Abu Bakr dies because of this, that we are going to chop the head off of Utbah in revenge for Abu Bakr." And so they took Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and that entire day he sat unconscious. Until at night, when he finally began to regain his consciousness, do you know what he said? The first words that came out of his mouth, "Ma fa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "What happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Ma fa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" And so his mother and the people in the home, they said, "Have dinner and eat and rest, and inshallah we'll find out about Rasulullah." And he said, "Wallahi, la azuqu ta'aman hatta adhab ila Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "I'm not going to taste any food until I go and am reassured about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And when they saw that he was insistent upon this, they took him, his mother was there, and they carried him to Dar al-Arqam, where they met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he came into that home, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw the blood that was on his face, and saw what he had went through, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up, and he hugged and he cried at the scene of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the Muslims gathered around, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "It's all right, Ya Rasulullah, that there's nothing wrong except these wounds in my face that the fasq had done." Utbah. Dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to the issue of role models and the people that we look up to, in his book Risalat al-Mu'allim, Jamal Abidin tells us that the age of one or two, at the age when a child is at 1 year old and 2 year old, they begin to habitually imitate the things that they see around them. And that when the child reaches the age of 5 or 6, when they are in kindergarten and grade 1, they reach a climax where they are imitating the things and the people that they see around them. They reach a climax. And this is from the fitra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that the human being will develop, that he will imitate, and you will see a baby and these children imitating the adults and growing in their imitation of the adults. But this can bring good things and it can be bad things. And then he moves on to explain that after those beginning years in grade 1 and in kindergarten, then the child smooths out in his imitation and it becomes mu'tadil, it becomes intermediate, and so he begins to pick and choose, but this habit of imitating things continues to reach on until his late childhood. And the scholars of the past knew this, and Ibn Khaldun writes in his book Al-Muqaddimah that children are influenced mostly, and they are brought up mostly by the role models that they take. In the early years, those children think that anything that a parent does, anything they do, must be correct. And the most correct adult that they see is their parents and their teachers. And so anything that they see done by their parents and their teachers is the most correct thing in their sight. These children don't learn by being told to do this and being told to do that. The children learn by example. For you will see immediately if someone tells you that I am fasting, and then in your face he's eating a sandwich, you will know that he is a liar by his actions. And you will see the power of his actions in comparison to his words. And very often our children are seeing this. People telling them that they are fasting and they are eating the sandwich right in front of their face. And they will not follow the words of that person, but they will follow the actions that they see. And you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one of the most hated things and the most despised things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is someone who tells people to do good and then does not perform that good himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِندَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is on the earth glorifies Allah. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. O ye who believe, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is posing the question, why do you say that which you do not do? لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ A question, why are you saying what you're not doing yourself? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ Most hateful it is with Allah that you say that which you do not do. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ And in Sahih Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that يُؤْتَى بِالرَّجُلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ That the man will be brought on the day of judgment and will be thrown into hellfire. And the people in hellfire, they will see the punishment that he is in and they will say, oh fulan, they will say, oh so and so, weren't you the person who used to tell us to do good and weren't you the person who used to tell us to abstain from doing wrong? And he would say, Bala. He said, yes, I am that person. Walakin. But I used to command the people to do good, and I wouldn't do that good myself. And I used to command the people to stay away from doing wrong, and I would go and do that exact wrong that I would warn them from. And you will see the severity of this punishment. And you will see in other ahadith about the first people to go to hellfire, that someone who learns Quran so that they're called a qari, and this person to be called a scholar, that on the day of judgment, with all the kuffar, these people will be brought first into hellfire. For the reason that these people are doing things that are going to scar other people. They are doing things that will cause the destruction of entire communities amongst them. And if anybody, it'll be their family there, that when that child sees the hypocrisy in their father or mother, that their child will be destroyed. Because they will see that, and it will scar them, and they will grow up knowing that their father or mother is a hypocrite, and I'm going to be like them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the severity of this role model, and how it's going to change the lives of the people around that person, for good or for worse. And so you will see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the punishment in the extreme so that the people know the severity of this. And in search for these role models, these real role models, rijalun, the real men that we're looking for and the real women that we're looking for, we find the example of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and his family. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the first revelations, the first person he went to give da'wah to was his best friend. He went to his best friend. And if there was ever someone who was going to disbelieve the Prophet ﷺ, it would be his best friend. Because he knows all the inner secrets of him, and he knows if he's lying or not. And so he went to his best friend, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he told him that he had received revelation and that he was the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu heard this, he said, مَا جَرَّبْتُ عَلَيْكَ كَذِبًا. He said, I've never tasted and I've never experienced a lie from you. أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and you are the messenger of Allah. And in fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, later when people were bothering Abu Bakr, he said that every single person that I taught about the deen or explained the deen, that everybody had some hesitation and they were debating the issue, except Abu Bakr. When I gave the deen and I told him this is Islam, he said, أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And he did not ask any questions. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you can imagine how many ayat he had memorized at that time. Only a few that had been revealed. And the few dua and the few salah that they had, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went from that moment to become one of the greatest da'is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he went to Uthman, and he went to Talha, and he went to Zubayr, and he went to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and he went to Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, and he called them to the deen, and he brought them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his hands, and one after the other, أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought these people into the deen. 6 of the 10 people that were promised Jannah, and Abu Bakr is one of them, the 7, that 6 of them, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one who converted them to the deen, is the one who brought them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the day of judgment, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu will have in his deeds that he had done, that these people, these great people, had entered Islam through his da'wah. And Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَأَنْ يَهْدِيَ اللَّهُ بِكَ رَجُلًا وَاحِدًا خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمَرِ النِّعَمِ. He said, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides one person on your hand, that it is better than the dunya and everything that is in it. And he said, it's better than a red she camel, because that was the most precious thing that they had. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had brought through his hands, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had guided 6 of the 10 people who were promised Jannah. In those early days of Islam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would go around and he would see the Muslims that were being tortured, the slaves and the weak people, and how they were being tortured. And his heart would cry out for them. And he would see Bilal radiallahu anhu as Uqba, as Umayyah, would be punishing Bilal and would take him out in the noon sun. And because he was a black slave from Africa, from Abyssinia, they used to punish these slaves. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would watch as they punished them. And Umayyah would take Bilal out in the noon heat, when the heat was the strongest. And he would press Bilal on the sand. And then they would bring a boulder so that he would press him further down and increase the torture of Bilal. And Bilal would never turn back on his words. And he said that I tried all the different words that would make them the most angry. And I found that when I said Ahad, that Allah is only one, that one, that it would make them the most angry and they would punish me the most. That's the only thing I used to say. And he would repeat in their face, Ahadun Ahad. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would pass by Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he would listen to him saying, Ahadun Ahad. And he would say, Yunjik al-Wahidun Ahad. That one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save you. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he went to Umayyah. And he said, Oh Umayyah, sell me Bilal. And Umayyah was very happy that there was someone who wanted to buy Bilal. And he was very hurriedly wanted to complete the sale. And he said, I'll sell you for 5 uqiyah, which is a very large amount of gold. And Abu Bakr agreed. And then he snarled and he snickered and he said, if you, after the deal was completed, he told Abu Bakr that if you refuse to pay nothing more than 1 uqiyah, I would have sold Bilal to you. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he has different scales than other people. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if you refuse to sell me Bilal for nothing less than 100 uqiyah, I would have bought Bilal from you. That I still would have bought Bilal from you. And then the evil people, and the people that like to spread rumors, and whenever they see people doing good, they always want to cause a problem. The people, they saw Abu Bakr do this, and they started spreading rumors saying that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had done this. That Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had done this because he had a favor to pay back to Bilal, and then he hadn't done it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran and saying that those people are liars who said that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had done this for any other reason than for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى. الله سبحانه وتعالى revealed that he who spends his wealth for increase in self-purification and have in his mind, and he's speaking about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and have in his mind no favor from anyone for which a reward is expected in return. That Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu expects no favor from anyone and expects no return for this, إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى, except only the desire to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the countenance of the Lord the Most High. إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ وَجْهِ رَبِّهِ الْأَعْلَى. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of who is going to pay Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu back for this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And he surely will be pleased when he enters Jannah. And imagine this last verse, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى. وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, that he's going to be pleased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Abu Bakr that on the Day of Judgment that you're going to be satisfied and I'm going to make you pleased on the Day of Judgment when you enter Jannah. You take this verse and imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that to you, وَلَسَوْفَ يَرْضَى, and try to weigh that with every single thing in the dunya and see which one is heavier to you. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to you that you're going to be satisfied and you're going to be pleased with what He's prepared for you, then indeed you will be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. When Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu became Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made him the Amir of one of the armies. And so because he was the Amir, Amr ibn al-As thought that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him the most. And so he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the battle and he said, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most? And he wanted everybody to know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved Amr ibn al-As the most. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I love Aisha the most. His wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And then Amr ibn al-As said, no, from the men, who do you love the most? And he said, her father, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده وبعد. Very often people are very concerned about the upbringing of their children. And I've seen with some children, and in fact many, many children, a certain event that happens when they get a ball in their hand. Put a ball in a child's hand and bring a basketball net towards them. And then tell them to take a shot. And even bring it a little closer so they may actually be able to dunk the ball. Listen to what the child says. And I think everybody knows what's going to come out of his mouth. He's going to say, Jordan. He's going to say Michael Jordan and he's going to throw the ball. When that boy says Michael Jordan or he says some other basketball player's name, it's coming from his heart. It's coming from a television that he may be watching 4 hours or 5 hours a day. A television that his father and mother brought in for him to the house. That boy is bringing that out from his heart and calling out those people that he puts up on his walls. The posters of people that he doesn't look down upon, he puts it up on his wall so that he looks up to it before he goes to sleep. And when he wakes up in the morning, he's looking up to a kafir on his wall. And in fact, listen carefully, and that boy is telling you that I want to be a kafir basketball player when I grow up. I want to be similar to this kafir person. And in fact, you will see these people are the worst of creation. And you will see, read their biographies of these athletes, and you will see that they are animals living on the earth in their lifestyle. We may be just watching them on the television, but look at their entire lifestyle, the alcohol and the drugs and all that, and you'll see them dying in car accidents because they were drunk, and you'll see them committing zina, and you'll see them doing all these things. And these, maybe just because of the ball that you allow the child to take this person as a role model, but there's much, much more behind that. And so, and I've lived through this society and I know that I have brothers and sisters, or specifically brothers that had grown up with me and now they're in university and they can throw a basketball in a net, they can spit it with precision into that net. but you ask them to read Surah Al-Fatiha and they recite it fumbly like a baby would recite Surah Al-Fatiha. They can't recite it. Why is that? Because when they were young and they used to hold the ball, they used to scream Michael Jordan when they would throw it. And they wouldn't call out in their heart Abu Bakr, and they wouldn't call out in their heart Umar, because they didn't know who these people were. All they knew were these other kuffar. And you will see from the seerah how that the Prophet ﷺ and the companions, how they were role models for the children. The Prophet ﷺ in the story of Al-Hijra, who narrates it? Aisha radiallahu anha. She was a little girl at that time. She was maybe 8 years old at the time of the Hijra. And she's narrating the hadith. She says that the Prophet ﷺ came at the time of Dhuhr, the Dhuhr time at noon. And the Prophet ﷺ used to visit them in the morning and in the evening. But at Dhuhr time he never came. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu knew that there was something different this time. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he came in and he told Abu Bakr that he had been given permission to go for Hijrah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, As-suhba ya Rasulullah, as-suhba ya Rasulullah. Let us go together for the hijrah, the migration to Medina. Together ya Rasulullah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, as-suhba, together. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he heard that word come out of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's blessed mouth, he started crying. And Aisha radiallahu anha, that little girl that was watching her father cry in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, I never believed that someone could cry out of happiness. I never believed that someone could cry out of happiness until I saw Abu Bakr cry that day out of his extreme happiness to be able to travel with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this crying wasn't out of happiness because he had won money, and it wasn't because of some dunya. No, he was going to, on a journey that everybody would be searching for them and they would try to kill them, and he knew this. And in fact, in the hijrah, he's trying to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He knew this could mean death for both of them. But he was happy, and that happiness came because of the akhirah. Because of, he knew the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and of being with him in this great journey to Medina. And you will see all throughout that story that when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left the home, that Abu Jahl had come. And he told Asma, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's daughter, he said, where did your father go? And she said, with that strength of a mu'mina, she said, I don't know where my father went. And he slapped her across the face. Asma radiallahu anha, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when they were in the cave, she went and she was a little girl, Aisha radiallahu anha's sister. She went and she had a belt that she would tie her clothes with. She took that belt and she ripped it in half so that she could put food in the other half of their cloth, and they didn't have too much money to buy clothes. And this is how they would make sheets. She ripped her belt so that she could make a cloth to carry the food. And she was named after that, Dhatun Taqeen, that the woman of the two belts, because of her role in the hijrah. And again, she was a little girl who was maybe in grade 2 or grade 3 at that age. Asma and Aisha, and you will see Abdul Rahman, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son, who was also a young boy at that time, helping to bring the food, helping the shepherd, giving them news of what was happening in Mecca. And you will see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to the hijrah. The person who was guiding them, their guide, was a young boy who took them to the hijrah. And you will see all the characters in that story, that they were all children except for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. These are the children that grew up around them and took and participated in the most important events of al-Islam. After 10 years in Medina of da'wah and jihad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to al-Rafiq al-A'la. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. And at that moment, and Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was sick, he would tell them that make Abu Bakr lead the prayer. And they would say that let Umar lead the prayer, and he would say, يَأْبَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. He would say that the mu'mins and Allah and His Messenger reject anyone other than Abu Bakr. And so Abu Bakr would lead the prayer, and for good reason. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, and Umar radiallahu anhu stood amongst the people, and he started sharpening his sword, and he threatened anybody that says that Rasulullah had died, that he was going to kill them. And he said that the Prophet had not died, but had gone to Allah like Musa had gone to Allah. And that he was going to come back and kill all the people that said that he had died. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was in the outskirts of Medina. And when he heard of the news, he went on his horse and he galloped towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's home first. And he took, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lying on his bed and a sheet over him. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lifted the sheet from his face and he kissed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, "Tibta hayyan wa mayyitan," that you are blessed in life and in death. And then he covered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he walked out to Abu Umar radiallahu anhu addressing the people and he said, "Sit down, Umar." And Umar didn't sit down, but he began speaking Abu Bakr. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهُ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ. He praised Allah and he began, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتَ. Whoever worships Muhammad, let him know that Muhammad is dead. وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. And whoever worships Allah, let him know that Allah is alive and shall never die. And then he recited the verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. He recited the verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, that Muhammad is nothing more than a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ, that messengers had come before him. أَفَإِن مَاتَ, if he dies, أَوْ قُتِلْ, or is killed, انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ, that you turn your heels and you run away from the deen. And so when he began reciting these verses, Umar radiallahu anhu says that his knees became soft and he fell to the ground crying because he knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had indeed died. And all the people there, they said it was as if they never knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed this verse. And everyone began wheezing like a kettle as they recited the verse, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. It was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, a role model for all of us that stood for the deen when everybody had misunderstood the correct interpretation of the event. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had died, and he had prepared the army of Usama, and Usama had all the warriors in that army, and that all the people were going to come and attack Medina, Abu Bakr sent for Usama's army to leave and go on their battle. And Umar radiallahu anhu and other people said, "How can you make the warriors leave? We're going to be attacked now." And he said, "I would never, never untie a knot that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had tied." And so he sent out the army. And as he walked with Usama radiallahu anhu, do you know how old Usama was? Usama was 18 years old, and he was the leader of the entire Muslim army. A boy in about grade 12, finishing his high school, going on to university. Usama radiallahu anhu was that age, and he led the entire Muslim army. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu walked with him, and Abu Bakr was one of his role models. He walked with him by the horse, and Usama radiallahu anhu said, "Ya Abu Bakr," he said, "you're either going to sit up on the horse and ride with me, or I'm going to get off the horse and walk with you. But I cannot have it that I ride on the horse and you walk on the ground." And then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "that you are neither going to get off your horse, and I'm neither going you're not going to walk on the ground, and I'm not going to sit on the horse." وَمَا يَضُرُّنِي, and he said, "how will it harm me for me to get my feet dusty for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for only a few hours of the day?" And so Abu Usama radiallahu anhu went forth with his army, and they were victorious, and they left for 70 days. And in that time, every tribe that they would pass with their army, everyone would say that they only sent out this army because they have a much bigger army back in Medina. And so let's wait to see what this army does. And they went and they fought the Romans and they were victorious. And they came home with the war spoiled and with that fear in all the tribes' hearts that they had won that battle. This was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And these were the youth that grew up at his side. Muslims, through the history, and you'll look through the books of the ulama, that they understood this issue of role models. And you'll see Amr ibn Utba, rahimahullah, advising his son's teachers. And he said, "let the first correction you do to my son be the correction of yourself. Let the first thing that you teach my son and correct in my son, let it be the correction of yourself. For verily, their eyes are attached to you." Do in their, whatever you do is good to them, even if it's bad. And whatever you abstain from and you do not do is bad to them, even if it's good. And many parents have understood this issue of finding role models and being themselves role models for their children. And so you'll see a child in kindergarten, in the public school, as the non-Muslim teacher sat and she asked the children what they want to be when they grow up. And this one boy would say that I want to grow up to be a policeman. And the other fact, subhanAllah, when we were growing up, these were our role models. We were taught that when we grow up, we would want to be a policeman and a fireman and this. And the other boy would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he would say, I want to be a fireman. And the third boy, who was a Muslim boy, who had proper parents that had taught him properly, he said, when I grow up, I want to be a Sahabi. And she said, a what? And he said, I want to be a Sahabi. And then when the parent-teacher conferences came and this teacher sat with this boy's parents, she asked them, what is a Sahabi? And the parents taught her that these are the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And day and night, whenever we get the chance, we read to our son stories of the companions. So much so that now when he grows up, he wants to be just like one of them. He wants to be a Sahabi when he grows up. And this is what we want for our children. That when they grow up, they are Abu Bakr and they are Umar, insha'Allah ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم من أحيته منا فأحي على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون